two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Never before have you felt such a buzz.
And this is exactly what I need.
Yeah! Party time!
Now listen!
Welcome to SLC Fanboys. Three guys who love Star Wars, comic books, gaming, movies, and fangirls. Adam Thomas, self-appointed Starfleet captain and Cylon sympathizer. Andy Farnsworth, comic book Jedi and George Lucas apologist. Tyson Webb, Comic-Con moderator and amateur Sith. These are the SLC Fanboys.
SLC Fanboys back again with a special holiday edition tribute to the Star Wars Christmas special.
Yes!
A classic nearing its 40th birthday, overlooked for years, thankfully rescued by people who had VCRs in the late 70s or jobs in TV station master control rooms.
Because if not, we would not have a copy of this. And if you've never seen it, you will find out why this has been tried to be erased
you
from
existence.
You
find out why Disney keeps pulling it off of YouTube.
By George Lucas.
Stop what you're doing. I have the biggest holiday news of all time. This is 2 hours worth of unseen Star Wars goodness.
Star Wars? Is that the one with the bear?
I mean, I even heard rumor we meet Chewie's family.
Chewie? The guy who works in my stock room?
No, Chewbacca.
Is he the little guy who yells, the plane, the plane?
No, the Wookiee? Han Solo's fuzzball?
Oh, that's the Goldbergs from this week's episode, which actually we had already planned on talking about the Star Wars holiday special, and just fortuitously, they thought the same way on that ABC show, which is very funny. And, well, you know, poor Adam. Oof. When he was done watching it, he loved Star Wars.
He made it through the whole thing.
And Adam Goldberg also.
Oh, wow.
Adam Thomas and Adam Goldberg had very similar experiences. Adam, apparently you've never seen the Star Wars special, or you didn't even know it existed.
I had no idea it existed. I had no idea it was out there. I thought it was kind of a joke, and I had no idea it was checking in at about an hour and 40 minutes.
Tyson, you knew about it.
Yeah, I'd seen it before.
You had seen it. I had never seen the full thing. I had seen clips of it. I knew what it contained, but I had never actually watched it from start to finish until this week. And
whoa.
Wow. I mean,
I just hope.
I tried, but I got a migraine. So
you couldn't even finish
it. I'm
not kidding you. If you've never seen this, before we start going into anything about it, when you watch it, you actually think multiple times, someone is playing a joke on me. Like,
okay.
This is a joke. This never really happened.
Let's start someone with the first joke. The introduction of Chewie's family in the long, you know, variety show type opening with the musical interlude and then the announcer guy. And story!
Introducing Chewbacca's family.
Oh my goodness! This is the
His
joke.
His wife, Mala.
What?
He has a wife?
Mala.
His father, Itchy.
Itchy?
His mother, Scratchy.
His son, Lumpy.
Lumpy. Lumpy.
With special guest stars.
And a whole bunch of special guest stars, including B. Arthur.
Oh, my goodness. Let's get to B. Arthur in a little bit.
Okay.
We need to save that one.
We don't want to get into this too quick.
Starting with that very long and awkward blend of variety show music, the Star Wars theme, and the announcer with Chewie's family, it opens up with Harrison Ford, which led to my initial reaction.
Right.
OMG, Harrison Ford is in this. He took this job and got second billing. I mean, what a slap
in the face. I didn't even think about that.
Mark Hamill is top billing. But Mark Hamill was top billing in Star Wars, too. In fact, I think he was top billing in all three of the original trilogy.
Yeah, because they would have repeated that. The first time Harrison Ford ever got top billing in a Star Wars movie was The Force Awakens.
Really?
Yep.
Huh.
That makes sense.
And he was in it less than everybody else.
He was in it for a while. Come on. Hey, he came home. That's good enough.
Yeah, at least he survived this one.
The second sign that I got that something was going to be very wrong with the next hour and a half of my life. Chewie's family, they don't subtitle, they don't speak English, they grunt. And
this is the first 9 minutes of the show. This and nothing else.
Yes.
It sounds like Cartman and a Tauntaun mated.
Yes, and it is a Tauntaun.
And when Itchy talks, that's the dad. What did I say? It sounded like a Gamorrean guard.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are no subtitles here. You have to watch this
it's
terrible
a pantomime.
This terrible family pantomime. Oh, okay. The baby seems upset. The father seems interested in something. The mother is sad that Chewie's not home. And then you have
and
all
he's
this
coming
grunting.
Because it's a holiday special.
Yes.
They're coming home for Life Day, which is coming home to Chewie's home planet. So
the war on Christmas started in 1978 when Star Wars called it Life Day instead of Christmas.
Did you know that there was actually arguments in the comments under this YouTube video over whether it was originally called the Star Wars Christmas special?
It was, and wasn't it?
No, it was the Star Wars holiday special. It's always been called that. Ugh. So you're right, though.
Does he have to include Life Day?
The Star Wars on Christmas began.
So the Chewie's family is just awful. The grunting,
his dad looks like the Crypt Keeper.
Seriously.
A hairy Crypt Keeper.
Yes, or a Mugatu without all the horns from Star Trek.
Yes.
You know, it was terrible. Just
Mugatu.
Terrible.
I forgot about that. What it was missing is the circle teeth on the mouth.
So I'm watching this, and about 10 minutes in, I start noticing a pattern, or the first example of what would become a pattern. Things that looked like transitions from one thing to another, but turn out being segments unto themselves. And we'll start with Cirque de Chewie. It was like this weird Cirque du Soleil performance in like this VR computer panel that kind of like the holographic chess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're performing there, and then it zooms in on them, and now we see them on stage, and it's this weird black light Cirque du Soleil.
Dude, I actually wrote down... Check it out. Star Wars has been using green screen since 1978. Not the blue screen special effects. This is like actual green screen mixed in with like the circus performers are like walking out of oh my gosh.
And he watches it for like 5 minutes.
Yes.
This isn't like a little like what I'm thinking is okay, it's a little transition as they go into another segment here. No, this is a segment unto itself. This bizarre. Okay, just moving
this
on.
This is now 15 minutes of the show. You had a two-minute segment, two minutes of credits, 9 minutes of growling and pantomiming, and then they watch a circus.
And it wasn't a transition. There's more Chewie family, I ask, exasperated on this note. The Chewie family PC, by the way, was old 40 years ago. When they originally shot this in 1978, that computer they used looked like it was 20 years old then.
I did. I remember that.
I mean, what are we doing here? And, oh, they're using a QWERTY keyboard. Oh, okay. We've introduced the QWERTY keyboard in the Star Wars universe now. Thank
you. Even though they speak English, obviously.
Yeah, which...
Well, now, to be fair, they did fix English and turn it into basic Aurebesh. In the later versions of Star Wars, the original tractor beam stuff, that was all written in English in the original 77. So to be fair, they
Empire
hadn't decided that
changed.
It's its own, you know, symbolic language.
The but, first real jarring appearance, actually the second, I wasn't really jarred by Harrison Ford. He just, you know, phoned it in from the cockpit of the Millennium
Falcon. No, he didn't.
Falcon.
That's the thing. Falcon. He didn't phone this in at all.
Sure he did.
No, he didn't. Like, I was actually...
He's that
he was
good.
Playing Han the exact same way he played him in the movie. Like, I thought, you know, he got the part because of how sardonic he was at how ridiculous the lines in original Star Wars was. I can't believe he didn't take this to, like, the next level of, okay, I thought George Lucas's writing was bad.
I remember thinking, I really have to say this, like, I wonder what he thought reading the script.
Oh, okay. So as far as just cashing the paycheck, they all did that.
Yeah.
But at least it seemed like they were
Carrie
trying
Fisher
to be their character in this.
I remember Carrie Fisher, like, looking pissed, but not like outwardly, but like you can see it in her eyes. Like,
oh,
have
we haven't
this.
Even touched on all that Carrie Fisher's doing in this.
The second, you know, major name appearance that really threw me off was, I don't understand why they had Ellen DeGeneres play Luke Skywalker.
Pretty Luke!
If you see the opening credits, and we're going to post some screenshots if we can on our Facebook page. He looks like a woman.
Why does he have eyeliner?
He's got like this bob cut of blonde hair.
He's got a classic Bieber
he's
cut.
He's got the Bieber cut. You're right.
Is that what it is?
Ago. It looked like a classic Bieber cut from a few
back
years
when he was
ago.
15?
So Bieber stole
a quasi
Luke's haircut.
Kinda,
yeah.
Bieber stole Luke's haircut from the Star Wars holiday special, and he
probably.
Was trusting that we wouldn't figure it out.
And he had the eyeliner. He was so pretty.
Also, Mark Hamill, which we have later confirmed it was Mark Hamill and not Ellen DeGeneres there, he gives an excuse to the family during this. Okay, so it seems like every scene they had like a time limit that they had to reach and kill time. Like, this has to kill 6 or 7 minutes to show here. So they do this little
it's
scene.
It's almost like they did this live.
Yes.
You're right. It looks like it.
Yeah.
I don't think they did, but it's almost like they did.
So Skywalker and R2-D2 are fixing what they say is an engine but looks like the laser turret from an X-Wing.
Yes.
And it has smoke and all that shooting out of it, but it goes on and on and on. He's not talking and fixing it or just every once in a while turning back around and hitting a button. There's like long 20 and 30 second gaps where he's not doing anything but tinkering with this prop
and then when
and having smoke blown
in his
face.
At this point, this is Chewie's mom, or no, Chewie's wife has called Luke to find Chewie. This is how they introduce all the characters. Chewie's wife is calling everyone that they know in the Star Wars galaxy to find out where Chewie is.
But only principal characters.
Not the actual Millennium Falcon.
Them, right?
Not the actual Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
Correct. They're FaceTiming.
They're trying to FaceTime.
So they were ahead on this. With a 1970s rear projection TV. No, front projection TV.
Yeah.
One of the things that Mark Hamill uses as an excuse to why Han and Chewie are delayed, he says it could have been, quote, an asteroid storm, end quote. An asteroid
they blow around and
storm.
Stuff.
I just, at some point, why doesn't anybody, if you're forced to read these lines, unless they just paid him so much money, he literally didn't care. Why doesn't somebody, does this make sense? Could we just change this to ion storm, a meteor storm, a thunderstorm?
There were many things. There were many things that not a lot of thought was put into. In fact, that was one of the things that the Goldbergs recognized after Adam Goldberg on the show watched the Star Wars episode with his dad.
Wow, that was so cool.
Were we watching two different things?
You don't know Star Wars. This special is really for the true fans.
So the true fan wants to watch Dorothy from the Golden Girls flirt with an alien.
I admit it was an odd choice to have B. Arthur manage the cantina. Let's just move on.
And what's the deal with Lumpy and Itchy?
Chewie's family had to be named something.
Lumpy and Itchy? Couldn't they have spent 15 more seconds on the names?
I don't know! And I don't know why Art Carney is a family friend or why Jefferson Starship is performing for the Empire.
Oh, that was Jefferson Starship?
Yes. That one actually makes sense to me.
Let's never
speak
of this
solo.
So you didn't love it. Who cares?
I care. I love Star Wars. It's my life. It makes no sense why I didn't love this too.
Well, it makes plenty of sense if you've ever actually watched it.
He mentioned Art Carney, who is just this... I couldn't figure out what this guy – he's basically like a 7-Eleven manager, 7-Eleven store manager.
That you can call the 7-Eleven and order things.
And you can order things for him, and he's a family friend.
So they were ahead on that.
And he sells to the Imperial.
Maybe this is pre-Amazon.
Pre-Amazon. And they have this creepy Imperial worker come in with a mustache. And it's one of the black helmet guys, you know, the Death Star operators.
Yeah, the operators.
I actually had somebody ask me because I was watching it, and somebody came stood over my shoulder and said – are you watching Spaceballs? Is that Dark Helmet?
Yes. Yes. The guy was a little shorter, and the helmet looked a little big on him.
It did. Huge. And I actually wrote down, was that the Imperial guy the inspiration for Dark Helmet?
It has to have been. And I didn't understand his – and then again, there's another 3 or 4 minutes. He's trying to make a purchase, and it just goes on and on. They're just killing time. Then we come to the first real, and I knew this was going to come. I was like, okay, they're going to end up recycling a lot of special effects footage or just recycling footage and dubbing over.
They had already started that.
I thought I was going to be a little more blatant. And sure enough, the one good Darth Vader scene in the entire special here.
We've ordered a blockade, curfew, and started a search operation. It's just a matter of time before we find the rebels.
I want the rebels located and identified, if it means searching every household in the system.
So they just dubbed that over an existing shot of Darth Vader walking with one of the Death Star officers through those corridors. That wasn't a Star Destroyer. That was the Death Star.
Right.
They just dubbed over that.
And it was a horrible dub job, too.
Oh, yes.
Horrible dub job. The curfew. We're searching the system.
Other than the fact that you're taking film and putting it onto video, so there was a noticeable difference in the quality of Chewie's house to this oddly scratchy version of Darth Vader walking through the Death Star with this odd overdubbed with dubbed audio.
With original dialogue from James Earl Jones. That's the thing. They should have just had Darth Vader like saying it to nobody as far as it goes.
Yeah. By the way, I do think he was on the Death Star, which presents all kinds of timeline issues here. So either A, we are to accept that Han, Leia, Luke, and all of them split up after leaving the Death Star, but before they got to the Yavin base, and that's where this whole special takes place, within that time period.
Chewie had to go home before they attacked the Death
Star.
It's the holiday. By the way, when they fly to the planet, they took the red moon, the red Yavin, because remember, the moon of Yavin is what the base was on.
Yes.
But Yavin itself was a big giant red planet. Well, they just colored it green, almost like it with a marker.
Cute.
Almost with marker.
Oh, I did not notice that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Again, at about the 25-minute mark, I ask, how much did Harrison Ford get paid for this? I still was really confused about Art Carney's character 25 minutes in. I wrote, who is this guy again, this human with Chewie's family? I don't understand.
But you're forgetting the part where Art Carney dresses in drag to do a Julia Child's cooking segment with Chewie's wife. If you think that I made that sentence up, I did not make it up.
You know, I forgot to note that because
and he looked like Chris Farley in drag.
I don't want to talk about this anymore. I don't even think that was the most disturbing thing.
Oh, no, no.
Thing was this weird virtual reality helmet that Itchy,
yes,
his dad,
father,
wore. Now, he puts it on, and it's this female solo.
It's Dionne Warwick.
Yeah, it's a solo performance, but he loops the beginning of it. He, like, keeps on going back to watch this same 2 seconds over again and seems very excited by it. And I got really worried about that.
He was watching porn.
I think so.
No. I think so.
It was too creepy. On top of weird, they introduced a creepy level to it. And I was like, that's really breathtaking right there. Because I don't understand what that little part was supposed to prove other than kill another 30 or 45 seconds by having Dionne Warwick's part looped over and over again, much to the pleasure of Itchy, who was kind of, yeah.
You know what? At this point, I actually wrote down in my notes, this is like a junior high production.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it felt like watching it. Someone in junior high, the dialogue was so terrible and clunky. And
do you think they produced it like, when did you say it aired? In November?
This special aired on November 15th, 1978.
Do you think they were asked to do it November 2nd, 1978?
It's very possible that they had the actors all signed and the costumes borrowed from Lucasfilm.
The project was green-lighted on November 2nd.
Right.
Then
it was written on the 14th.
Yes, it was written on the 14th.
You know, I also noted it's amazing that a Wookiee home is laid out and decorated astonishingly similar to a 1970s American living room.
Yeah, that's interesting, too. And also, there was something about that treehouse that seemed vaguely familiar, like another production from the 80s or something, and I could not put my finger on it, how similar it was. I don't know if it was like the Berenstain Bears or something. I don't know.
Those were Ralph McQuarrie production paintings.
Oh.
They actually were, because originally, remember, they talked about maybe going to Chewie's home planet someday. And it's Kashyyyk. They actually had it written out, the K-A-S-H-Y-Y-Y-K. Pronounced Kashyyyk and everything you've ever heard, including the original, including the prequel trilogy, they actually said the name. The Imperial guy that kept appearing on the video screen?
Yeah.
Kazook.
Kazook.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
They called it Kazook.
Kind of that one guy in the original Star Wars who called her Princess Leia. They just didn't fix that in time, did they?
Oh.
So we kill more time with Princess Leia, and then the guy who now identifies himself as a friend of the Rebellion and your local 7-Eleven store manager. And Imperial troops show up at Chewie's house now because we just need to have Imperial
because apparently he's a known Rebel sympathizer?
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, it's okay. You got to see Stormtrooper. Something
but meanwhile,
that
Chewie's
good.
Wife is making food while she watches a Julia Child knockoff in drag. Meanwhile, I believe at one point she handed Lumpy a big basket of laundry to fold, which is interesting because none of them wear any clothes except for Mala, who wears an apron. So unless that was a whole thing full of aprons that needed folding.
And she seemed to be a very ineffective cook anyway. So I don't think that she gave up on whatever recipe she was trying.
You know, I actually wrote, why couldn't they steal any footage from this for Rogue One?
Oh, stop it.
No, but really, Princess Leia has an actual long scene where she talks to Mala and 3PO translates for her. They couldn't borrow any of that and just make it quick cuts?
Then Jefferson Starship shows up. This musical interlude that they're using to distract the Black Helmet Guard. This whole thing was dated even before it was dated. It was literally dated at conception. It was dated during their own performance. And 40 years later, it's tragic.
I think, was it written for this or is that an actual Starship song?
I don't know. I really
You
don't
really?
Know.
I couldn't even listen to the whole thing. I finally fast-forwarded through that.
Decent guitar solo. Grungy. Very effects-laden.
Was this the first music video?
You know what? That might have been
interesting.
Wow. You know, we're running into these examples where this special was kind of ahead of its time in some areas, and I think we should stop that.
I also wrote, it's a travesty that John Williams' score is used in this because it's associating such beautiful music with
travesty. What else are you going to do? I mean, really, the music made some of the scenes. The 9 minutes of growling at the beginning with that, you know.
There was no music.
There were some.
Well, yeah, but it was bad.
Imperial Guy makes the dumbest Imperial Guy threat that I've heard. He tells Chewie's family that if his men get angry, he's referring to the two stormtroopers that are there, there might not be anything he can do to stop them. He's commanding two stormtroopers. If they get angry, do they shoot straight or something if they get angry? What's there to be afraid of?
You won't like me when I'm angry.
Oh, don't worry. The stormtroopers show their stormtrooperiness later.
Oh, yes. Yes. Classic stormtroopers here. Then we get to segue into a meta moment that still causes headaches with me and probably anybody else that watches this. They had a Star Wars cartoon done, and they incorporated it into this special by having Chewie's son
Lumpy.
Go to...
Right, by Lumpy. The way, a name borrowed right out of Leave It to Beaver.
They had Lumpy go and watch a Star Wars cartoon featuring animated Luke and animated Leia with bug eyes, animated Chewie, animated Han Solo, animated C-3PO, and everything.
And it's terrible animation. This, if you remember the Droids cartoon series.
Oh, it makes Filmation look like Pixar.
Do you remember the Droids cartoon series on Saturday mornings
yes.
in the 80s? Horrible animation. This was even worse than that.
I'm telling you, it makes Filmation look like Pixar.
And it's yet.
It makes any of your Hanna-Barbera stuff from the late 60s look like cutting edge, computer-generated. It looks like Toy Story 3, okay?
And yet, Adam did not know this until right before the show.
Okay, yes, this cartoon within this live-action special, this very meta, confusing meta moment where a fictional character is now watching a cartoon of other fictional characters within his own universe.
Yeah, so okay. Somehow somebody got a hold of this story, made a cartoon of it, and now Lumpy has the ability to watch it.
And he doesn't want the Imperial Guards to see because he changes it back.
This is not an interlude, which I actually, when I first saw the cartoon, because I saw the cartoon separate from the special, I thought this was just an interlude, like they were doing a bunch of, like it was a variety show
yeah.
is more what I
yeah.
thought.
Yeah.
And it is,
and
but
the opening,
trying to weave it into a whole thing.
And that opening tells you that it should be a variety show with that guy
exactly.
doing it.
Exactly.
Okay, so...
But then we meet
Boba Fett. His first appearance in Star Wars period was in this Christmas special.
Saved my life. Thank you.
You are alone.
I have two droids. We've come in search of a ship that crashed near here.
Maybe I can help you. I am Boba Fett. The ship you seek is nearby.
And then it looks like Luke and
what?
Boba are going to be pals. But then
they never mention that in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, I know. Yet when Boba lands on the ship, maybe that's what he was saying. Was he was like, "Hey, remember when we met back on the red water Jello planet?"
And did Chewie ever get home to see his family?
Somehow, Han and Chewie don't recognize Boba Fett.
Yeah,
even though it's well established in Star Wars. Well, okay, retconned in Star Wars. Perhaps this is why George made the point of including Boba Fett in the special edition. But it turns out that Boba Fett, it's not the only person from Star Wars that he knows.
Now that you've gotten their trust, they may take you to their new base.
This time we'll get them all.
I see why they call you the best bounty hunter in the galaxy.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no.
But it's so great to hear James Earl Jones in Vader voice
yeah.
from back then.
So
I mean, much, you know, I actually wrote, is there an Art Carney action figure I can get? The only reason I ask that, There were prototypes made of Lumpy and Mala for an action figure.
No, there weren't.
There were prototypes. You go online. There were prototypes for Lumpy and Mala.
Ugh. Yikes.
And then we go to this ad that they started watching TV at Chewie's house. And it's an android pitching a product.
I swear, this is the instructions for him putting together his little circuit board.
Okay, he needs to put together. Okay, that's what it is. I guess I lost. Some of the setup was lost on there. I mean, it just went right over my head. This very unsophisticated, ham-fisted audience member didn't catch that one. But, okay, so he's watching this video. It's apparently instructions on how to put together the circuit board. And I don't know. The android, the actor playing the android is breaking down and doing like, actually look like more like Fry from Futurama doing the robot.
It made me think of Robot Repair, the sketch on Saturday yes. Night Live with Phil Hartman.
Yes.
That's what it made me think of.
Or Robot Insurance with Sam Waterston. Yes. Just that kind of. And he would do this stuff where he's explaining it and then he would break down and then like do like a chicken wing motion like he was restarting himself. And it was confusing. It's like.
This is why it feels like a junior high, not just a junior high production, but like that the junior high kids were in charge of it and even they only had 3 days to write it or yeah. 1 day to write it. Because it's so. You just don't even understand it. And obviously, it was received by the public the same way. So even at the time, like some of this I thought, well, maybe in the 70s this was like less stupid.
Yeah.
But it wasn't.
Well, you know, it's from the area of the 70s, and the Simpsons roasted this concept quite well, that variety show model where you had the Brady Bunch come back to try to do one, and the Partridge Family, of course, Donnie and Marie, all that.
And they write some terrible dialogue just to get him to say something funny that you'd recall.
And they sort of quasi-applied it to the Star Wars special, but still tried to have a coherent plot. It's like you got to do one or the other. Either go all-out ham variety or try to do some kind of live
like
stage.
The Muppet Show.
Yes.
But you do it where they come on as the actors and then say things like, hey, what if we were going to do this? And then they put it on.
I mean, like the setup for
Marge.
We just
figured this.
Like the setup for the Simpsons, their spinoff showcase or whatever, and the variety show, and they all come on there as themselves and say, but what if we all just had candy? And it was an intro to the candy number.
Right.
Okay.
We
That's
just
how this
came up with this in 30 seconds.
In 30 seconds.
I mean, we brainstormed that, and the special's already better had they done that.
This is where I wrote at about the, I think we're at the 1 hour mark, maybe the 50 minute mark. I'm beginning to suspect Chewie isn't late. He's hiding. Well, I don't want to watch TV or any other media with Chewie's kid. He picks terrible shows. Their cable package sucks.
I also wrote down, at this point, too, the stormtroopers go up and start trashing Lumpy's room.
And in the most...
They're trashing a kid's room.
And in the most really just half-assed way possible. They're just like, you know, kind
of... And then he pulls the head off of his Bantha.
Yeah.
Does that guy not think that maybe that was a collector's item that he tore the head off of? And then here's the even the best part, okay? Then the dastardly Imperial in charge looks at Lumpy and says, go clean up your room.
I didn't catch that.
And then Lumpy goes upstairs and he looks fiendishly at the other Imperials. That will keep him busy for a while.
Wow.
Which is also when Lumpy then it constructs his computer and then tricks the Imperials by you because it's essentially a little comm base system, a comm system. He then calls the Imperials out of the house.
Enter.
That's plot.
Enter B. Arthur, owner operator of the cantina.
This is a TV show. I had to watch it twice to figure this out. They're watching essentially a soap opera that takes place on Tatooine.
Oh, so B. Arthur was supposed to be a TV show within this.
I think so.
Again, Chewie's kid picks lame shows. Their cable
The Imperials were watching this.
They need to get Sling TV and not pay for this crap.
Oh, and then she serves a dude who's drinking in the top of his head.
Yes, Volcano Head, as I nicknamed him. Not because his head looked, but there is a giant hole on the top of his head.
I nicknamed him Count Rugen because he is the six-fingered man. What? You didn't know that he went on to murder Inigo Montoya's family later.
Oh, that's the same actor?
No, but he has six fingers on his right hand.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, because at one point he's he's counting off to B. Arthur the six words that she said when this is why he came in to love her. I obviously took way too much out of this and paid way more attention than you guys did. because I couldn't. It was a train wreck.
Yeah, you lost me half hour ago.
I couldn't turn away, guys. I couldn't turn away.
And here you go. All that was all the sexual tension between B. Arthur and a volcano head was all a prelude to a song and dance number led by
B. Arthur.
B. Arthur.
And it's 5 minutes long.
Yeah. Well, you know, had to fill up the hour there. This was undoubtedly a two-hour special when it aired in 1978.
Yes.
So it's about a minute it's now about an hour and 38 worth of content. Now, yeah. In today's commercial TV environment, you get about an hour or 20 minutes of content. I can only imagine it would have been a major improvement to find 18 minutes worth of cuts of this and try it again.
Well,
maybe
thankfully,
keep going, but
thankfully, B. Arthur's number comes to an end.
After
Han
five
Solo and Chewie finally arrive on Kazook.
Kazook.
And then we get the biggest action sequence of the
whole
special.
I remember
this.
It was pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah. Right before that, though, we learn that Imperial officers carry radios that have 3-foot retractable antennas. I mean, like, he pulls the radio out. Talks and gets his orders, okay, and then, you know, collapses the antenna back into this little walkie-talkie.
Han arrives.
Is this when he battles the stormtrooper?
That's when he battles the stormtrooper in a dramatic,
yeah,
a dramatic treetop battle in which,
yeah,
the stormtrooper gets karate chopped the gun out of his hand,
and then he stumbles over his own gun.
And then,
right?
When he and Han are both like trying to figure out who's going to dive for the gun, the stormtrooper goes over the edge.
The Wilhelm scream, or whatever.
It defies description.
And this was after, I really think the whole special here took a very dark turn, a needlessly dark turn. The stormtrooper went up there to kill Chewie's kid.
That's right.
Okay.
I don't know why I'm laughing.
He wants to go kill a child in his bedroom. That's what the stormtrooper was trying to do. And then Chewie's kid runs away. He runs down the little circular staircase there. And the stormtrooper, the actor, did a fantastic job, a very noble effort of not overtaking Chewie's kid running down the stairs by simply taking one step forward like a normal human would. He had to do like the running in place, slowly moving down the stairs kind of effect to make it look like he was, oh, that kid's just out of my grasp. Oh, he's
probably because Lumpy couldn't see out of his costume and would have done a tumble down the stairs.
I'm sure that was a major part of the reason.
Did you ever notice how much Chewie's hair looks like Teen Wolf's hair when he goes to the dance? Like, I really wonder. That I actually had that thought while watching this. In the tender moment when Chewie, I thought he was going to maybe kiss his wife, but then they just hugged.
One little thing in terms of props that I did enjoy, which got some more love and screen time in The Force Awakens, Chewie's crossbow gun.
He did have that around a lot.
Check.
He didn't use
it,
even though he could have.
But it was there.
And Chewie apparently regularly abandons his family. That's
yeah.
The other thing you take out of this. I mean, how many
never
of Lumpy's,
talks about
how
either.
Many of Lumpy's Blurn's ball games did he miss?
Blurn's ball.
Then Luke gets a costume change after they all look at the little light thingies or whatever.
I don't know. We got a Chewie family song and dance number to kind of ride it out here. And it was a choreographed collection of grunts and body thrusts. But I don't know if this is misplaced symbolism or a meaning that we weren't all supposed to understand until this very end. This Festival of Light or whatever it is, Light Day, Light Happiness, whatever,
yeah.
it features a scene where Chewie's family is lined up and they're physically walking into the bright light at the end of the screen. Okay.
Does this mean the stormtroopers actually finished the job?
I can
and
only
is this
assume
why we never meet them again in Star Wars history?
Chewie's family has lined up to walk into the light with open arms. I don't know why they chose to sort of shoot it that way and sort of show that, because I was really trying to think, are they trying to imply that they were all just shot dead or something? I by this point, I don't know what's going on,
okay,
and I'm
so
kind of in tears.
At this point now, they bring all the Star Wars cast back together, on screen together for the first time. Luke is now wearing his Tatooine stuff instead of his X-Wing stuff.
Oh, yeah, he was wearing his X-Wing pilot when
in the fixing scene.
In the fixing scene.
And now
yes.
He's wearing his Tatooine outfit, and then this.
All of you are an important part of my life, pal. I'm glad I could be here.
This holiday is yours, but we all share with you the hope that this day brings us closer to freedom and to harmony and to peace. No matter how different we appear, we're all the same in our struggle against the powers of evil and darkness. I hope that this day will always be a day of joy in which we can reconfirm our dedication and our courage, and more than anything else, our love for one another. This is the promise of the Tree of Life.
What a good message. What a good message. Wait a minute, what's happening? Oh my gosh,
oh no.
Carrie Fisher is singing.
Bad.
Don't worry, I didn't make you listen to more
to
than that.
To quote the grave Dave Chappelle as Rick James, cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Well, there you go, my friends. Our look at the Star Wars Holiday Special. 40 years and every day George Lucas regrets allowing this to be made. And if George Lucas regrets making something...
Yeah.
You there know, are some serious
in a lot
regrets.
Of ways, this has a lot of parallels to the project that we've had on the back burner for a long time on the Star Trek animated series. Something clearly made for money. Give the actors – now, with Star Trek, it was more like, hey, these guys can't get any work, so let's get them some jobs here. with Star Wars, a little different. These guys were – especially Harrison Ford – were going on to other things, and they were able to do
Thankfully,
so.
Indiana Jones and mm-hmm. – or first, Raiders of the Lost Ark and Empire Strikes Back – came out in two of the next 3 years. Because if this was the last thing we ever got from Star Wars, what an ignominious way they would have gone out.
Oh, I remember they did separate audio kind of storybooks for Return of the Jedi, maybe even Empire, because I had one of those on an old 33, an old record.
Record, yeah, we had those.
Yeah, and it was someone narrating it.
Yeah.
And it had
I actually still have the cassette tape of that.
And it had like sound effects and dialogue from the real movie and then the narrator
It wasn't from the real movie.
Oh, the one I heard from Return of the Jedi did.
Oh, you know what? Return of the Jedi was one we didn't have. We had Empire and Star Wars.
Yeah.
But I mean, me and my brother still quote, "No, that's not true. I'll never join you." Which is not the actual line, which I was very disappointed when I saw the movie again and found out that's not what he said.
Oh.
But, you know, but anyway, we want to thank you for joining us for this Star Wars Holiday Special retrospective.
Slightly less painful than the actual
We thing. Just saved you an hour and a half of your life that you could never get back. But if you want, we'll post the link to YouTube if you want to watch it yourself. I'm not kidding you.
You might have to stay ahead of Disney and find other links off the side. But,
exactly. But you will not believe – you think whatever we've said we're kidding about.
Oh, no.
We're not kidding about it.
Why would we lie to you about Bea Arthur and a dance number? Why?
Thanks for checking out SLC Fanboys. Fulfill your destiny and follow us on social media. SLC Fanboys on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.